what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blindside Blitz. I'm Jim McPhee, and of course, right there is Mr. Joe DiCapita.
What's going on, Blitz Nation? Welcome back again. We are ready to go, and we are doing our second part of the Odd Man Out series. Now we're going to be switching gears, going to the NFC. We're going to give you the lowdown on every team and who we think is going to be the odd man out. Before we get to that, Jim, how you doing, my friend?
Good, man. Good. Not too bad. The weather's been beautiful out here, right? After all that rain, it's been nuts. But now finally, you know, New York, that's what it is, man. You never know what you're going to get here. But it's been sunny the last couple of days. I grilled today, so it's been nice.
Absolutely. You know, it's up and down every single day in New York. So we'll take whatever we can get, right? We'll take as much as we can get it. But also for all our viewers out there, if you're new to the show, we strongly encourage you to head over to YouTube for us, hit that subscribe button as well, the thumbs up, share it to all your family and friends, all that good stuff, because we are rocketing through the atmosphere, eclipsing 10,000, going for 11,000 currently with subscribers, and we're not stopping there. So we want you guys to be part of the show. Make sure you drop down in the comments. We are live. Anytime you comment, we're going to give you a shout-out. You want to ask a question, give an opinion, anything you want to do, that's what the show's all about. Let's get interactive.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. And, I figure we got to start the show before we get into the other stuff we had planned. We got to bring up the fact that Derek Carr announced his retirement here. I know Carr's got a special place for you, probably in your heart here, Raider Nation. I figured we had to talk about Derek Carr here quick before we get into it. And his career as a whole and what this really even means for the Saints moving forward too. So now all of a sudden Tyler Shuck is thrown right in there in the starting spot, you would think, or at least battling it out here with Spencer Rattler here for the Saints. But Derek Carr, after the bad news with his shoulder, having to have surgery, obviously he's like, I'm not going to sit through a whole nother season and rehab and then try and come back again. I'm just done with this. So all right, yeah. Reflect on Derek Carr and his career here quick there, Joe.
I mean, honestly, like, Derek Carr, for all the haters out there of Derek Carr and what he's accomplished throughout his career, the guy has been a top 10 quarterback. I mean, you can go look in the stats, and you can nitpick if you want to, and that's what a lot of haters do. They nitpick on a couple of bad games or a bad season here and there. Like, the guy has been pretty darn good, pretty solid of a quarterback. So, you can look at what he's done without talent around him. You can look at what he's overcome. There was one season in particular where the Raiders, when he was on the Raiders team, like, they had nothing around him, bad O-line, no real wide receivers, just Hunter Renfrow. That was it. And somehow, some way, Derek Carr helped them reach the playoffs when everything looked in doubt. So for a guy who's kind of overcome the odds as a second-round pick, who's done very well for himself. It's sad to see it end this way for Derek Carr, because I feel like he loved football so much. So he loves the fans. He loves Raider Nation. He loves Who Dat Nation. He loves the fans and loves the organizations that he played for. And unfortunately, it's not his own terms. It's like, now you have to deal with this shoulder surgery where you don't know the end of it all, what it means. Is he going to come back in a year? Does the surgery go successful or not? Is he going to be delayed longer and have to be forced into retirement anyway? So for Derek Carr, you know, he spoke with his family after hearing the news that he's going to have to definitely get the surgery, would definitely sit out at least this year. And because there's no guarantees, he was like, well, I made a lot of money for myself and my family. I've had a good career. I'm 34 years old. Like, how much longer am I really going to play? And the other side of the coin with the Saints is that we heard rumors about them kind of willing to maybe cut him after this year. So there was also that. And does he really want to go to a new team and start all this all over again? So with all that being said, he came to the conclusion of saying, you know what, maybe it's just time.
Yeah, and here you go. And I think everybody's got a different opinion about Derek Carr. There's, like you said, there's a lot of haters out there, some of it maybe even the team that he played on. The fact that he put up some pretty good numbers, but never really, the Raiders weren't able to win a whole lot of playoff games. Just to look at his stats quick. In his career, passing yards, 41,245 passing yards, touchdowns, 257 with 112 INTs, made the Pro Bowl two times, and he also led the Raiders to their first playoff appearance since 2002.
Feels like 2,000 years have passed for the Raiders, and they made it one time.
Yes, yes, and he holds franchise records for passing yards, passing touchdowns, passing completions, and attempts, and tied for 14th most in NFL history with 28 fourth quarter comebacks. So he's got his stats out there. He is lamented in history. Now, when it's his comes his time to be, evaluated for the Hall of Fame, we shall see where people see.
Yeah, I don't think Derek Carr. Did enough to get into the Hall of Fame. Honestly, like, there's going to be a lot of people out there that say, well, he showed promise, but on the other side of it, did he ever get to the Super Bowl? No. Did he ever get to the championship game? You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be people that doubt the player, but stats aside, the guy definitely uplifted the team when there really wasn't much to go around. I mean, look at the Saints this past year. Before Derek Carr's injury, he was the only quarterback on the roster that actually got a win for them. I mean, and that was guys that were injured. The offensive line was beat up. The wide receivers were dropping like flies. So, I mean, say what you want about him, but I feel like he was a guy that any one team could have won with. But the fact of the matter is that when it all stacks up, neither team, the Saints or the Raiders, never had the roster around him to win the big game or even make it.
Yep. All right, we've got William Del Pilar is in the house. He says, Derek Carr had talent and showed promise, but never quite elevated himself or the team to the next level. Still, he was better than critics claimed. A solid quarterback in a challenging situation where you land in the NFL makes all the difference. And, I mean, that makes sense, too, especially where he was and how many different head coaches and different offenses he had to learn. I think if he didn't, if he wasn't as smart and was able to pick up the playbooks as fast, it could have been even more disastrous for him. But what he had done, throughout his career, despite having those limitations. Right. We've seen quarterbacks that never get it right. Look at me and my situation with the Giants and Daniel Jones going through multiple head coaches and things in different playbooks and not panning out at all. You know what I mean? So,
And that's the crazy thing is not many people know this, but Derek Carr had a photographic memory. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The guy could literally remember things that happened 2 years ago against the same team on the same down with the same distance to go. Like, he would remember exactly the play and everything. The guy was incredible as far as that goes. But also, like you mentioned, the offensive coordinators, it was almost like head coaches. It was almost like a new regime for him every single year, just about, that he had to learn a new system, learn a new way of doing things, how the coaches wanted him to do it, and still, on top of it all, try to somehow, some way, help the team win.
Absolutely, Joe. So there you go. Ends a career here, Derek Carr. Shout out to him. So big news tonight. What's going on and everything is the whole release of the NFL season, 2025 schedule. So everybody's talking about that, and there's already been leaks everywhere.
Yeah, right.
I like how they just, they're like, hey, save our big moment for us, but then, leak a little bit here. It'll sprinkle it out here and there. And I like how even, too, they're like, the first game is going to be played in. It's going to be the Chargers in Brazil.
Yeah.
We're not going to tell you who they're going to face, so how about that? Dun-dun,
Leave the cliffhanger. Just let it marinate before we know.
So, before we get into some of the big games, so let's talk about the international games, Joe. We've talked about this multiple times on this show, on our other show, Football on the No Show, two Wednesday nights. International, how they're trying to spread, make this a worldwide sport. They include Madrid, Berlin, and Dublin now this year, which I think could be really interesting. I can't wait to see that Dublin game this season. And that will fall, what is it, on week four, the Steelers and the Vikings. Two teams that are legendary. You know, they go back to the 70s, you know, the Purple People Eaters and the Steel Curtain fight it out in Ireland. I can't wait to see that game here, too. But, Joe, what do you think about now the new games they've added here with the new international markets that they've been trying to spread throughout here? And what games are you most excited to see here?
So, I mean, for the Vikings, first off, the Vikings will be the very first team in NFL history to go back-to-back international games.
That's right. You know,
they go from Dublin to the U.K. As first they fight and meet the Steelers, and they fight with them. And then they head over to
his
the U.K.
top islands.
To go
That's
up
what
against Cleveland Browns. So guess what? It's going to be about 3 weeks to a month until you see your family. So I know that that's not the Vikings, you know, what they wanted to do. And that's kind of like that's the double-edged sword here in this whole situation. The NFL is always looking to expand the fan bases, expand the NFL's reach across the world, and to continue to do that to rake in more revenue like they always like to do. And this is just another way to do it. We know that the NFL game, American football, is huge worldwide. We get it. But now it seems like every single season we're stretching ourselves thinner and thinner. At what point do we stop adding games? At what point do we stop going back-to-back on games? With so far, it's just the Vikings. But next year, maybe it's two or three teams. So it's got to be a little concerning because I know for a fact coaching staffs, players, they are not liking these type of games. If it's once in a while, I don't think they mind it that much. But now it's becoming more and more often that we're traveling over to a different, completely different country, you know, and you have all that money that the owners are shelling out. And I get it. The owners have the money to shell out. Not saying that, but it's just making all these different travel plans and trying to find a practice facility and where do you practice and how do you keep the everyday football life for the NFL player as common and you know and the same as possible. And I feel like we're getting dangerously close to expanding so much to where it's not going to feel much like an American game. So I've kind of been against adding more games to the schedule because it just means more travel, more time away from family and friends. You don't know what's going to happen overseas either. Like we go to the UK.
I know they talk about the Berlin or the Brazil game. Remember when they were talking about Philadelphia, Green Bay, I think, and even the rivalries between football teams, you know, soccer football teams.
And, there's gangs down there with the same colors that they thought that was going to be a problem. Luckily, it didn't turn out to be like that. But again, there's probably other things that are going to pop up as we go through this season, going to different countries. Are they going to experience some, you know, different things that they're going to have to go through in terms of laws, in terms of how they go about, you know, everyday life when they're over there. So it would really suck. It would be a shitty thing if somehow, someway, we've seen players get in trouble here in the States. Mm-hmm. What happens if they get in trouble in a foreign country? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of variables involved in
right.
that. And I don't think it's going to happen. I'm just saying in generalities, like, what if something like this happens? I mean, so
yeah, and I know it's funny too. Is when you go to these countries too, you know, they're going to try and tell you to stay in your hotel as much and this, and you're probably going to want to because you want to rest too as well. But what's going to stop some of these? You know what I mean? Some of these players are still going to want to try and experience some of this because what especially you know, obviously they don't run the Bulls in Madrid, but it's not too far away. The fact that you're not, you can stop a player from going, hey, listen, I'm out here in Spain now, I'm going to go run with the Bulls. Let's go do this, or let's see these guys training out there, like doing this. You know, I'm going to do this. And you know, coach is like, no, please don't do this.
The Bulls,
you know,
in the back. You really see how fast you are,
right?
You know,
we're starting to see, Terrell Owens and Tyreek Hill, you know, chasing and racing each other. You're going to see Tyreek Hill trying to outrace the Bulls here in Madrid. Right.
Just to prove a point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I will say this, like after looking at some of the international games, I'm really curious to see who the Chargers play, to be honest. I feel like that's going to be, depending on the team, that may be the go-to international game, but we still have to wait and see.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who had that market, because we did have a list of the markets of who owns those markets.
Right. I mean, when I'm looking at it, honestly, like, none of the games are really appealing to me. Like, there's no clear-cut rivalry game internationally. There's no, like, comparable level of play. It seems like when you look at all the games, like, okay, Rams against Jags. Wow. Can't wait for that one. I mean, the Rams should beat the Jags. You know, Broncos against Jets. Broncos probably will beat the Jets. You know, Vikings against the Steelers. I think the Vikings are a better team on paper right now. I think that they
beat
the Steelers.
I mean,
you know?
Steelers, you don't know what you're
Vikings
doing.
Vikings against the Browns. Same thing. I think that might be the most competitive one right now, currently, because if Joe Flacco is indeed the starter, at least that gives him some continuity, some veteran, you know, leadership there. So, I mean, there's fun games like the Atlanta Falcons against the Colts. Okay,
you know,
can't wait to see if maybe Richardson takes a step forward, and if he does, it's Richardson versus Michael Penix Jr. That could be fun to watch. Washington against Miami, again, predicated on Tua staying healthy. If Tua's healthy and he's there for the game, it could turn out to be a decent game. But again, there's like no one game where I'm like, oh my God, can't wait.
Yeah, and what's funny too is I noticed because even last year, Philadelphia, I don't think got a whole lot of primetime games. They might have gotten a few here, but it seems like this one, they really made a focus at least to bring out the fact that here we go, we've got the Eagles on a bunch of these matchups here. One against the Packers here at Lambeau.
Right.
Yeah, and then the Chiefs will host the Eagles, you know, in a Super Bowl rematch even too, which they always kind of do a rematch game anyways, you know. With the next season after. A lot of times it's the first game, like, right after. You know, I'm surprised they didn't go with that this year.
Right.
Instead, they go Eagles-Cowboys for the season opener on September 4th. But, again, that's not really compelling to me. I'm not interested in that game as much. Like, I don't know if you feel the same way or not. But
I mean, honestly, like, that's a Jerry Jones pull in the NFL. Like, He always wants his team to be part of the spotlight of the NFL. He's got a lot of power, you know, at the table. So this is kind of one of those games where it's like Jerry's like, hey, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, Roger, hook me up. Give me a game that maybe a lot of people will watch. But you're going against the Eagles, you know, and honestly, like, even with Dak Prescott healthy, I feel like it'll be a decent game early on. But the Eagles are just so well, you know, endowed with roster. Like, they have
They're just so well balanced. That's what I mean.
And it's going to be difficult for the Cowboys to kind of sneak out a win there if they can. It might even be a blowout, too. It could go the opposite way, where the Eagles just literally walk all over them. And it's like, this is the primetime game you wanted?
Is this what you wanted? Oh, man. Yeah. And, again, the whole thing about the streaming services always bothers me. I know you're probably not as big as, you know, you don't care as much. But, you know, I'm a stickler here. And, the first game's going to be free here on YouTube for everybody. Yep. So you get to watch that in Brazil. And then there's going to be three Christmas games now, too. Again, how do you feel about Christmas?
I mean, to be honest, that's kind of crazy. Like, now we're adding more games on Christmas. Literally, this is the statement from the NFL to the NBA. Fuck you. We're taking
it. They're saying
that's
it to everybody. And we talked about it with the whole statement with the fact that, you know, with Trump getting involved, too, and how they're stepping on the toes of high school football, college football, doing Saturdays in, you know, December around there too. And there's a stance, they're fine line, they're tiptoeing around a lot of these different things. And I look at it from the player's point of view, to where you had your schedule, you had your certain amount of games, you sign a contract, you play this many, and now they're saying, all right, you know, we're getting rid of some of these practices or some of these, you know, preseason games, but we're going to add more games to the season. We're going to stretch out the playoffs, and then now we're going to make you play on holidays, like more holidays. And we're not only one team, now it's multiple teams. So now all of you guys are all involved on this. And it seems like the players have kind of, you know, been taking a back seat on all this. And like, here you go. This is what you get.
Until the new CBA agreement has to be agreed upon, that's going to change everything, because for all the
international games on top of it?
Yeah, for all the points that you were making about it, what if you're going to start stepping on toes of college, of high school, Friday nights maybe? Here's the issue with it all, is if you start doing that, then you're going to run into a lot more problems with players, because now when the new CBA has to be agreed upon, guess what? Now we asked for this much. Now it's going to go up. It's just going to keep going up. We want more and more money now, because if you're going to keep changing the schedule on us, now we're playing more holidays than ever before. We're playing different nights than ever before. And with a cherry on top, now we're playing international games more than ever in the NFL. So just with all that said, it's going to lead to higher asking prices to sign players. The CBA, the NFLPA, the Players Association, is now going to ask for even more from the NFL because, hey, you guys want to keep now adding regular season games and then tweaking playoffs, because that's been a point of conversation too. Maybe changing the playoff, schematics and how they're going to handle that. Or on top of that, what's going to stop? When is it going to stop? Because here's the problem is right now it's regular season games. Mm-hmm. What if in 5 years from now it's international playoff games? It's games where you're traveling over to China to play an AFC championship game instead of staying in the States where the sport should be for special occasions. So
right.
We're treading very deep water, and we keep seem to be going deeper and deeper into the deep end here. I don't know. At some point, the owners have to speak up and say, all right, it was fun for a little bit, but we need to pull the reins back a little more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I can see that happening with this. It's the questions we always ask when we see these different things in the different international games moving forward. And there's a bunch of other markets that they didn't bring up. They're going to release probably next year, too. A bunch of different markets. Greece is one of them, too, as well. I mean, we've seen that. Joe, again, some big games, we'll find out, as the season unfolds, whether they become big, because the thing is, too, they announce some of these games, but then they get flexed out, too, depending on how these teams fan out. So you can only guess so much, and I know they go through an algorithm to kind of set this whole schedule up anyways. They're like, hey, this, but I get how this algorithm works if all of a sudden a lot of these same teams, if you look at strength of schedule, too, how they call strength, a lot of these same teams get this easiest schedules and these other all the time. And it's like, how, if you're getting this balanced formula that you're supposed to be using, this is happening all the time? Or is this your formula? Yeah. It's like, let's get these guys, on the bottom every time, and let's keep these guys relevant out here and have a chance to perform here.
Exactly. And one other thing that I'll say is they're making it a big deal having the Chicago Bears on primetime.
Right. I saw that too.
The Bears, I understand the Bears have a really good defense. They do.
Mm-hmm.
And they have improved their offense. But based off of what Caleb Williams did last year, I don't know how you could even hype that game up as much as they are currently. Like, there's some questionable games that they're trying to really hype up and say, oh, this is going to be an awesome matchup when it comes time. I don't know. Like, we haven't seen proof of the Bears becoming this, like, next-level contender. And that's kind of what they're trying to make them out to be already, because Ben Johnson is there, the new head coach, working with Caleb Williams is going to be amazing. So, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see for sure.
Yeah, that's definitely what they're trying to jump ahead with. We saw it last year. Yeah. How many more games did the Jets have on primetime? Just because they finally were like, all right, we've got a healthy Aaron Rodgers, this team, here we go, let's see what happens now. And that kind of just fell flat on their face, I guess, for the whole season. They're jumping on top of it. That's what they feel. Ben Johnson, again, Caleb Williams, second year here with the team, new offense. They're trying to jump ahead and expect some of these things to happen, but. We'll see. We'll see as they keep releasing more. And even as you guys, too, let us know. They're going to be releasing more tonight or tomorrow night. So let us know, you know, for our next show, too, when we talk about it, what games you're excited to see, you know, when it all comes down. So, Joe, like you said, last week we talked to AFC, odd man out. We had a bunch of different ideas on who was going to go in, who was going to go out. A lot of different conversations who they still have yet to pick up with a lot of these teams and stuff. But it was very compelling. We had some different views, and a couple of those actually happened, too. So we nailed a few of them, too. So
right.
Congratulations to us, and we'll see what happens with this one moving forward.
Pat ourselves on the back. Good job. Real quick, though, I got to say, for anybody that did not tune into our previous show, Jimmy called it. Davis is going to be visiting the New York Giants wide receiver. Maybe they add him to this roster to kind of bolster it up a little bit. So keep an eye out for that. Jimmy said that Gabe Davis was going to be the cuts. Jacksonville looks like he's going to be visiting the New York Giants.
Yep. And there he is. And Christian Wilkinson there for Wilkerson for you, the wide receiver for your Raiders too, ended up getting the cut on that one. So, but here we go. Anyway. NFC. Yeah. And that's the thing. Some of these ones, it depends on, you guys can play along with us too. Why not? We're going to go with the AFC East first. And there's different ways to look at it. I mean, cause you could NFC say, East. Well, this guy, is he going to find playing time for me? Yeah. I'm like, well, this guy, he's struggled to try to make the roster too a lot of different times. So he either has a shot or he's not in this one. So that's where I kind of fall with some of these guys. But I've also kind of extended that kind of way of thought, like you had kind of said, like, hey, this guy's battling for a starting job. Maybe they decide to even move on from this guy. And I've seen a couple guys on some of these rosters where I think it's time they should probably try and get out of this, but they really kind of screwed themselves with contracts. And we'll talk about some of those when we go forward here. All right, Joe.
Well,
NFC East, do you want to get into it?
What we learned with contracts already is the fact that they don't matter. The teams, if they're willing to swallow that big pill, you know, and just say, screw it. We'll just eat the guarantees and everything this year and worry about the future later on. So, it's almost a unprecedented time in the NFL with teams. There's no longer with that, even with contracts that seem to be, there's no way they can cut this guy. And the next thing you know, they do. It's like, oh, all right. So we'll see, man. NFC, we're going to get right into this. Jimmy, you want to head that off?
Sure. Why not? I'll go. I'll start first this time. This one was kind of tough because, again, I don't know if you found it last year or last week when we talked about the AFC West, but I feel like when it's a division, you kind of know too, and you're looking at guys and you're like, man, looking at some of the rosters, you're like, who is the guy kind of out on this one? Cause I kind of know all these guys and I'm not sure what, you know, especially when you're looking at the Eagles too, you're like, oh, like, man, who is the odd man out in this one too?
Like I challenged myself with doing this exercise and I challenged, I'm either going to pick a starter that's penciled in right now in the depth chart that I think might get pushed out of it, or I'm going to pick a backup guy who might have bounced around to other teams and now he's landing on yet another team hoping to make it. But okay, after the draft, they loaded up at this position. Maybe they don't make it now. So, I'm never going to pick below a backup. So just so everybody knows out there, it might not be realistic, but I feel like it's going to make it entertaining anyway.
Entertaining. Yeah, and I kind of like went in between of that. So this one, like I said, it was tough for me. So we're going to start off with the Cowboys. And I'm going to go with tight end John Stevens Jr. He's struggling due to multiple serious injuries, including two ACLs in his left knee. So, again, he tore one a while back in 2003, ended his season there. But then, again, in October 2024, same ACL again while practicing. And now they've added more talent at that position there. So I find it hard for him to try and get back. And it sucks, too, because when you look at some of these guys that have a shot to make this roster that are there, and he was kind of on the cusp here, and never getting a shot, and he's young, and they're, you're like, oh, man. So, I mean, I hate to say it, but, I mean, this guy ain't going to make it here. So, I'm going to go with John Stevens Jr. again. It's tough. You're kind of like, who the fuck is that? But
yeah, because it's like, you know,
But here's the thing. That's what I'm going to roll with, you know.
Here's the thing, too. So for a guy like John Stevens, I mean, this is something where he was on the team for a couple years, was trying to, you know, crack the line, trying to get playing time. But then when the Cowboys get Jake Ferguson in 22, and then they get Luke Schoonmaker in 23.
Right.
It's like those guys are shoe-ins from the start already. And then you also got to compete with, you know, Brevin Spanford, the tight end who's penciled in as a third guy, kind of like an athletic type guy, of a tight end. It's steep competition. And that's kind of like the unfortunate part for some of these players is that even though they may have talent, they may be good, but when teams start to stack that position, it makes it extremely difficult to make the roster. So for me,
right, Joe,
I'm gonna go a different route here. I'm gonna go wide receiver, and they've added to this position group some guys like journeyman Paris Campbell, now formerly an Eagle, comes over. It's interesting to me with this whole scenario. George Pickens gets traded there, and I think that this is the reason why I'm kind of leaning towards this group is because they pull off this trade for George. And they team him up with CeeDee Lamb. They have Jalen Tolbert there, who was a starter last year. They got other guys that they really like, you know, Kevontae Turpin, who they really like in the slot, really shifty to get playing time. They're playing a significant role. Beyond that, it's a mixed mosh of who shows up any given Sunday. Any given practice, training camp is around the corner, and there's a guy that's kind of a little bit of a journeyman in Jonathan Mingo. He's been from team to team, never can really kind of land, get any significant playing time no matter where he goes, and I think this is yet another stop in Dallas where he's going to do what he can to try to make the roster, but I think he falls short. So Jonathan Mingo will be my guy.
Ooh, yeah. I mean, and that itself, too. Like you said, yeah, George Pickens, that's going to make guys slide. Like, I didn't like the move just because of that. Because, again, I think you've got Tolbert, you've got Turpin, who's now stretching and etching out to make a starting wide receiver spot, not just be that kind of punt returner, kick returner specialist. Right. And then Mingo on top of it. So I can see that, too. Right. I mean, I thought about that, too. So, and this one, you might be surprised, too, with some of the, these guys on my list, too. I did try and do a little bit of that, too, and I didn't go all tight end and running back. So,
not this time around?
Here with some of these. Not this time around. But, you know, I had to sprinkle it in a little bit here. So,
All right.
So, the New York Giants, for me, but the first two, again, I went tight end. I'm going with Greg Dulcich. Just because, again, depth chart, who they added, like you're kind of saying too, if you look at the guys here, Theo Johnson's the guy, but they also got Belly. They love Belly there. And Dulcich kind of slides in. They grab a couple of extra guys too, like you said, to fill some spots and see what these younger guys can do. And I think just to him, to where he is at his career right now too, plus, you know, injuries, nagging injuries that he's had throughout his career too, that, you know, helps too. And then also drops that he's had to and catching him, trying to see him do there, be a receiver.
Right.
And I just don't think, again, he's going to make the squad here too. They got a lot of other, you know, talent out there that they could potentially here take his spot. You know, will he be a practice squad guy? Probably or something. But I just don't see him making the starting 53-man
roster. I get you there. I'm going to go a different position group. I'm going with your favorite position group from the AFC, running backs. Drafting Cam the Rams, Adebu, after already having in place Tyrone Tracy Jr., who looked electric last season as a rookie. The guy was phenomenal, is an down back, and now you have an opportunity to bring the Ram to New York. He's going to be your battering ram at short yardage, at any point on the football, the guy who is basically like a human Hulk on the football field. Give me Cam Skebu and Tyrone Tracy Jr. teamed up from week one on, and that's going to leave none other than Devin Singletary to get cut as a veteran. Gonna have to look for another team if a team is interested to bring him in. They have other guys in Eric Gray who they like as kind of like more of a receiving back. But also, now you have a very young run back position group ready to take over. No need to have Devin Singletary anymore. That's my guy. Odd man out.
Yeah, and I had thought about that too again, but I don't know. It's like, and I know you say again, money doesn't really matter with some of these things, stuff like that, but that's a heavy cost, dead weight. It would be better if they did it next year. It helps, you know, alleviate some of that, you know what I mean, in a cap hit. So I'm thinking they still keeping them around this year, and then maybe it's a next year thing. But, you know, I agree. I agree with what you're saying. It's just, I don't know, man. I think it was just kind of steep for me, at least, looking at it. But, you know, we've seen these things happen, though, before, too. So,
yeah, that's why I don't care anymore. Contracts don't matter.
Yeah.
When it's time for a guy to go, it's time for a guy to go.
See ya. Yeah, absolutely. Joe, all right.
And here's the other thing, too. Here's the other thing, too, about this, about the contracts and everything. More teams now are changing their mindset on just eating it this year. Take the whole guarantees, take the cap hit this year instead of spreading it out, and then you move on the following season. So it's kind of like a new mindset that I think a lot of teams are coming around to. So for guys that are vets or guys that have kind of overstayed their welcome, teams are tending to move on from them, and it's no longer a surprise like it used to be.
Right, right, right. All right, so next we've got the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going to go with the safety position and Lewis Cine. And we talked about this guy kind of being a bust here, you know, with that 2022 draft. And he's moved from team to team. And now with, again, he's found himself on the Eagles, but with the depth that they have there too, again, and his lack of performance and stuff, I really don't see him really making a spot here, filling a spot here with the depth that the Eagles have and potentially him, again, once again, trying to find another home. And again, they just threw a flyer out there again. Did they find some of these guys out there, free agents? You know, hey, we'll sign them, see what happens. But like I said, the depth that they have, I don't see him making the cut.
Yeah. I'm going to stay off, but going a different position group, I'm going quarterbacks here. I'm going to go with Tanner McKee. I think they're going to move on from Tanner McKee because they've invested in the draft with Kyle McCord, someone that they like to build behind Jalen Hurts. Think he's going to move up in the depth chart, probably going to end up being a backup for Jalen Hurts. And then beyond that, they did go for a trade in Dorian Thompson-Robinson from the Cleveland Browns. So I know that they're not going to want to just move on from him after they trade for him. So he's going to make the team. They like Kyle McCord. I think he does well, especially underneath Jalen Hurts. I think it's going to pay off huge dividends for him. And it, quite honestly, McCord could end up developing into their future starter. But let's face it, it's Hurts for a long time. So it might just be McCord could be an excellent backup for them for years to come. But I think he would be the better quarterback over Tanner McKee. I think McKee's time in Philly is over.
All right. Yeah, I looked at that too. Again, I looked at quarterbacks in there. I was like, I don't know. Maybe I go with that one stuff, but we'll see. That's a good one. Next, let's move on to the Washington Commanders. Commanders were very active in free agency. We saw this, so they added a lot of different pieces here, protection, weapons. So it was tough to kind of look and see where I wanted to go with this one, but overall, I'm going with your guy, Cleveland Farrell. I'm going to go with him. They, you know, they bring him in again too to try and as a veteran depth piece, but this guy has this inconsistent performance throughout his career, injuries on top of it, you know, lack of getting pressure out there. So, you know, he's moved on. Like I said, he was there with, you know, drafted by your Raiders. Now he's here with the Commanders as like kind of like a depth piece, but with some talent too they've added, I feel like, I'd rather kind of see what these guys have with their younger guys and see if they do kind of perform and kind of step up to this to where they're a better depth piece with more, like a higher ceiling rather than this guy that's kind of, you know, been there. So I'm going with Cleveland Farrell.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Clelin Ferrell would be an easy pick if he didn't show any promise at all when he was with San Francisco. But the fact that he actually had a halfway decent year with the Niners, I think that gives the Washington Commanders hope that they can continue to develop him under their defense. Maybe he fits it better, you know, maybe he doesn't. But finally for him, I feel like early in his career, the biggest problem when he was with the Raiders, the fact that they kept moving him inside and outside, he never really had a position. They moved him from D-tackle to D-end to stand-up linebacker to rush off the edge. They couldn't make up their minds with the guy. How do you develop a player like that when you continue to move his position? So finally, he's going to stay at the end like he was with the Niners. And I feel like that's kind of helping him stay in the NFL, becoming relevant. For the Washington Commanders, for me, I'm kind of going to go to the tight end position here. And I'm going to go with John Bates, you know, drafted in 21, guy that's kind of been around for a little while, but they've invested in this tight end group. They still have Zach Ertz. He comes back for another year. Ben Sinnott, who they drafted in 24, and guys behind him, other young players, they might be preparing to make a youth movement here, guys, sticking with these young bucks and continue developing these younger tight ends underneath Zach Ertz. And not to say John Bates is old, but
yeah.
He's been around enough to not make a dramatic impact. And when you have guys like Ben Sinnott kind of waiting and chomping at the bit, I feel like it's time to kind of make that move. So for me, Bates ends up getting outplayed.
Yep, I can see that as well. All right, let's move on to the NFC North. Again, guys out there, I know you guys are watching out there. What do you guys think? Throw some guys out there too, you know, look ahead and see what you guys think, who might be a cut or a cap casualty here on this one on top of it. NFC North, let's go with the Bears. Joe, you want to lead this one off?
My favorite team, the Bears. Can't wait.
The Bears.
So for the Bears, I went with the wide receiving core here because it's kind of getting full there. They drafted Luther Burden, who I think is going to be a steal for them. Guy who was supposed to be, if he came out in 23, going to be the top wide receiver coming out, no doubt about it. And the fact that he had a down year in 24, comes into the draft, goes way lower than expected for a lot of teams, you know, and then you look at everybody around him. They drafted Luther Burden. They got Roma Dunze, you know, in 24. They got DJ Moore still rocking out there. They also bring in veterans, Olamide Zaccheaus. They also bring in Devin Duvernay, guys that are going to probably stick around for this roster. That's kind of what's helping me make this decision with Tyler Scott. I feel like he's going to kind of get pushed down this roster so much so that maybe he's just not going to make the cut. And when it's all said and done, there's a lot of talent. I mean, they are, what is it, 3-6? They're 12 wide receivers deep currently.
Yeah.
And you got other guys all chomping at the bid, even undrafted free agents that are walking on trying to fight their way up the ladder here. So I think it might be time for Tyler Scott to try to find a new home.
Yeah. I looked at wide receiver in this one, too. I looked at Scott again, but I'm going to go around a guy, too, that's been in the NFL, too, for a bit, had opportunities, you know, has been a starter at one point, too, but just can't get it going. And now in this roster, like you said, with the talent that they've added and stuff, I just don't see him making the cut, and that's Miles Boykins. Again, communication, chemistry has been his big thing, too. He struggled to understand and react quick. He's also been identified as needing to improve his route running. You know what I mean? Especially on timing, three-step drop concepts. So him, again, with this roster that they've added, the talent that's there, like you said, drafting a wide receiver, you know, second year with Roma Dudze, a guy that's trying to make a cut and still kind of make a career here, but I think it's just too little too late, and he's on his way out. So I'm going Miles Boykin. All right, Joe, what do you got here next for the Detroit Lions?
The Detroit Lions, I went defense on this one. They seem to keep continuing to build this defense, and they want to make sure that this never becomes a weakness once again. I think by doing that, they bring in big stud corner DJ Reed, you know, teaming him up with Kirby Joseph, teaming him up with Brian Branch, Terry Arnold. Now they have a formidable secondary. in place. And then what that does is pushes everybody down and increases the competition level heading into training camp. And there's going to be some guys that end up getting cut for this reason. I have Khalil Dorsey, formerly of the 49ers in 22, comes over there, is going to be trying to make this team, but they've done such a great job of adding younger pieces through the draft, and now it's getting to the point where they're getting their guys in place, and they no longer need these free agent acquisitions. So Khalil Dorsey, corner.
All right. All right. Interesting corner. Hobby. Yeah. Yeah. I looked at the corner situation too, and even some of the issues that they've had there too. And that's why I kind of went away from there a little bit. You know, I thought about it, but again, I'm looking at this wide receiver room that again is just so deep. That I feel like, again, some of these guys are just going to kind of just drop off. And I'm going with Malik Taylor, you know, formerly of the Jets. And again, struggling to get onto the field, injury issues. Hasn't established himself to be like one of those, you know, top receivers here. He always has to be in a competition with somebody and just has not panned out really at all. They bring him onto the roster here to try and do something. You know, say, hey, maybe we can do something here and make, you know, a push. But with so many guys that are there now, too, mm-hmm. especially with Jameson Williams being healthy for once here and performing like he did last season and elevating him all the way up, too. And Raymond even doing well when he's been called upon to be in there and stuff. I just don't think there's going to be spots for guys like this. And, again, this is why they bring some of these guys in there. Joe. You know what I mean? They're like, hey,
before we move on from the lines. Mm-hmm. I just want to say, remember we heard the rumors about moving on from Jameson Williams? Remember we heard the rumors about them possibly trading him, and it didn't mm-hmm. happen? That could be a shock.
Yeah.
Is if Jameson Williams ends up getting cut because they're tired of his injuries that keep happening every single year. You know, I don't see it happening because he's so young, and they're like, well, we didn't get to trade him, so might as well hold on to him, right? But it wouldn't absolutely shock me with all the rumors around his name, even getting the backing from Dan Campbell and saying of how good of a young man he is and they'd love to keep him on the roster. Just something to watch out for, you know, as we head into training camp.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, next we've got the Green Bay Packers, Joe. What do you think about the Packers?
Packers, this might surprise some people, but I'm going, we talk about Jameson Williams being injured, but here's Ooh. Another player that's always injured a mm-hmm. lot.
I honestly was
drafted in 22 in the second round, thinking that this is going to be their X receiver, their outside guy, the go-to, the playmaker, and Christian Watson, a guy who's been injured all the time. Packers fans are absolutely mm-hmm. furious with this guy. He just never can stay on the football field. And then when he is on the field, half the time drops the easy catch. Like, mm-hmm. what are we doing here in Green Bay? So what did Green Bay do this year? Look at what they drafted. They went in the first round. They invested in that. Matthew Golden, the mm-hmm. fastest receiver coming out of the draft, a guy who they have a ton of confidence in. And then they also went and double dipped and went into the third round and got Savion Williams, who is the player comparison for him is Cordarrelle Patterson, because he's literally the same dude. He's not the smartest tack in the box by any means. But if you could at least tell him, like, just what route to run, this guy could be a juggernaut of a receiver. All the physical traits in the world, has size, speed, and catching ability. He just needs to be told where to go. So if they can work with him, now you've got two guys that could end up becoming starters for you. Golden is seen as an immediate starter, and that's why I feel like with guys like Romeo Doubs and Jaden Reed still there, Dontavian mm-hmm. Wicks, who they really like, Watson might actually get pushed out because of all the injuries this guy just keeps getting over and over and over. He's my odd man out of the pack.
Ooh, I like that. When I looked at him too, and I was thinking exactly what you were thinking too, but I don't know. I mean, it could be. I think so too. I think that could be a possibility, but I went with another wide receiver who, again, has only really found major success with the Chiefs. And besides that, he's tried other spots here and there and not really panned out. And now he finds himself with the Green Bay Packers. And mm-hmm. I don't see him cracking the depth chart Nicole? Either. And that's Mecole Hardman. Yep. Yep. And again, he's older too. So it's like, okay. So, I figure with Watson, I'm like, yes, he has been injured, stuff like that. But I mean, now he's just slid down on the depth chart. They could put him in every now and then as a piece just further down. Hardman, I'm like, all right, you tried him out again. He's older. I'm like, all right, well, let's just cut our losses. Ain't going to really work out for us. See you later. And have him free agency again. So I'm going with Mecole Hardman.
The thing about Mecole Hardman, that addition, I don't think he's there to take reps at receiver. I think they brought him in to be a returner, mm-hmm. to be honest. So it's something to watch out for.
Yeah, that is something to look out for. So I'm wondering if they do decide to sprinkle him in there. You never know with this offense. So let's move on here now to finish up the NFC North and the Vikings, Joe. Vikings, what do you got here?
Well, I went to the tight end position on this one.
Yeah.
The Vikings, they have a really good roster overall. They've definitely kind of added to that. The offensive line has been, improved by bringing in free agents, drafting Donovan Jackson at left guard. And then even defense, the defense is rock solid too. You could go defensive and find somebody to pick, but I ended up going with a backup tight end in this one. You know, TJ Hockenson playing really well for Minnesota, kind of like one of the go-to primary targets. But I think after drafting Gavin Bartholomew, I think, and also bringing in as an undrafted free agent, which I don't know how this guy went undrafted. Doesn't make sense to me. But tight end from Georgia, Ben Jurecek, guy is going to, he could end up becoming the future tight end, the starter, has tremendous athletic ability. So with all that being said, you got some young guys up and coming. I think that's going to end up pushing out a guy like Josh Oliver, who got there via free agency for them. I think Josh mm-hmm. Oliver is going to be the cut, and then all these younger guys are going to be stepping up into the depth chart and becoming, not necessarily big-time playmakers this year, but they're definitely going to be involved.
Yeah. Yeah, this one was tough too. Again, because I was looking at the depth chart where we're going to lie, where who's like kind of where they're deeper, who maybe has a chance to crack a spot. And again, this is probably an easy one. I kind of just nipped at maybe, and I went with Jonathan Harris, defensive end. Again, he's been able to get play time here and there, but when he's out there, didn't really have an opportunity, didn't really perform well for where he even a draft position where he was a few years back. And I think with that spot, I think you're expected to do a little better and just hasn't been able to crack a starting spot so much now that they've added talent and he's just dropped further down the depth chart here. So I'm going with Jonathan Harris here, defensive end. With a defense that's pretty nice, too, right now for them.
Hey, as long as the rookies pan out.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's the truth. That's the truth, too. You know, that's the thing, too. And that's what I've kind of done is, like, left space for rookies kind of to grow. Because it's easy to be even like, hey, this guy was drafted in the sixth round or he's an undrafted, free agent here that they grabbed here. And you're like, okay, well, that guy's maybe going to be cut anyway, so – you don't want to go with that, so you kind of want to go for that guy. It's like there's some of these guys that we looked at already drafted second round, third round, and that's when you draft in the second round, third round, you're expected to kind of be a starter at that point. You know what I mean? And if you're falling down on the depth chart already after a few years and you're like 25, 26, 27,
that's
a problem. That's a problem.
They didn't pan out.
You know, and that's what some of these guys are when we go and look at it. All right, so let's move to the NFC South, Joe. Your brother's Atlanta Falcons, they added a bunch of different talent, too, trying to mm-hmm. make a push here to help Michael Penix Jr. as well. So what do you got here for the Falcons and potentially who's going to be the odd man out?
Honestly, like it could be very simple. You could go wide receiver because of how deep they are in terms of numbers, but there's no real clear cut. Players that are going to like besides the starters, Darnell Mooney, you know, Drake London, Ray McLeod is even penciled as a starter. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, it's a mess.
Yeah.
It's just a mess of names that you don't even really know who's going to make the team. I kind of expect Jamal Agnew.
Yes.
To kind of make this team. Caterell Hodge, I expect him to make the team. But beyond mm-hmm. that, it's like, I don't know. Like these guys, they're not really doing anything. So who knows? The Atlanta Falcons could quite honestly dip into free agency and be good that way, other than having some of these guys that have either been around the numerous teams, like Philip Dorsett is also trying to make the team another team again. So
yep.
I kind of went with offensive line on this one. I like Jake Matthews at left tackle a lot. He's their go-to. He's their starter, let's face it. But
yeah.
The backup to me, former Charger, former Saint, I was never impressed with this guy watching him play. Storm Norton, I think this might be his time, might be up in Atlanta. They might end up moving on from him at the end of training camp because they took a shot with Jack Nelson,
mm-hmm.
a guy from Wisconsin, a guy who literally, when you look at this dude, he is a mountain. And I mean, he's like a white gorilla. The guy is just this mean, nasty type of offensive lineman. He's gigantic. I mean, he's super tall, got the size, over 320 pounds. And he's got some athleticism to his game. He needs some refinement for sure, but that's why he could easily beat out Storm Norton and continue to develop under Jake Matthews and could honestly develop into their future starting tackle. So I think he ends up pushing him out of that spot there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that too as well, Joe. I looked at that position too. I wasn't sure. But then when I was looking at guys and kind of guys who, you know, again, some of these, I guess it's unfair for me too. Some of them are guys who get suffered injuries and can't get out of it stuff. But I went with Tyrone Wheatley Jr. And again, a guy who is drafted by the Patriots. Now he's fallen here now to the Falcons here to give a shot here. But again, an injury didn't really pan out. Big dude. I mean, solid. And again, and he's got, you know, his father was a great Michigan running back, you know. So, I mean, he's got that in his blood. But bigger dude. So now he's an offensive lineman. But again, coming off that injury, but then still not, you know, cracking the top spot. And now with a team here where they have the depth that they have, I don't see him, you know, panning out. Again, it's a flyer they took out on him. They're going to see where he goes with this. But I could see him also just not making the roster. All right, next we've got the Panthers. Panthers, this one for me was kind of tough because, again, a very young team.
Yeah.
And, again, coming off of a terrible season again and see who is actually – good, you know. I mean, even looking at their wide receiving core, I'm like, man, like these are their starters now. I'm like, who do you cut then? I'm like, oh. Yeah. So this one was a little tougher for me here. But what do you think about with the Panthers, Joe?
So you say youth, right? And there is a youth movement going on in Carolina, and wouldn't surprise me because they brought in, especially you bring up wide receivers. They bring in David Moore, which was an interesting signing, a guy who is a veteran. Has been around for a little bit of time, who can still instill the leadership role at that position group. Why have Adam Thielen around anymore? Is it time to finally close the curtain on Adam Thielen? Move on from him, because now that you have David Moore, who is younger than Thielen, who can still be that leader in the locker room, with all these young wide receivers that Bryce Young, I know, is licking his chops to throw to. I mean, Tedderall McMillan, they invest heavily on that position right there with that guy who's going to be kind of like your all-around juggernaut-type wide receiver, you know, gigantic wingspan, tall, has speed, has burst. And you team him up with Xavier Leggett, I mean, come on. Like, Leggett is still developing as a wide receiver, but I feel like this could be a tandem that could be really dangerous this year. And then he didn't stop there in the draft. in the sixth round, they take Jimmy Horn Jr. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
The son who of Bad Moon. You know what I mean? The guy that was a bad boy in the NFL, was a very good receiver. Jimmy Horn Jr. is going to enter into this thing. And I'll tell you this right now. We knew that running backs, knew that some wide receivers slid more than they should have. Jimmy Horn is no exception. This kid is electric. He's quick. He's got speed. I think he could easily fit into that slot role, move on from Thielen, get rid of his salary, move on from the age, and start with the new.
Interesting. I like that one. Definitely. This was, again, tough for me looking at guys. I could see Thielen. I mean, I get that too, again.
And one other, thing.
What's up?
They also brought in, which was interesting, Hunter Renfro.
Yeah.
Has been out of football for quite some time, comes back in. Again, he's probably a long shot to make the roster, given his concussions in his past career. But if he can kind of get those under control, maybe with the new guidelines, with the new helmets and everything like that, maybe he can stick in here, because he was one of the best receivers to run routes in the entire NFL.
Oh, yeah.
At one point in time. So if he can have any kind of production like that before, he might end up sticking there too.
Right. I think that would be a nice spot just in that slot to try and find some moves with his route running, you know, to help that offense if it doesn't move, you know what I mean? Just short and immediate passes, get it down to him. So I looked around different spots, and I ended up settling with my guy, linebacker Boogie Basham, which I know from the Giants. And he was very, very disappointing. Again, and he wasn't exactly asked to be the guy, but just with injuries that compounded all the time. He ended up being our starter at times and, just inconsistent playing. He had his opportunity to do something here, and I don't know if it was scheme or just being mismatches at the time when he was out there, but not very good. And now with this team that he's on here, again, you've got a lot of other guys vying for this spot. You've got some depth here. And I think they bring him in here. It's a low risk thing. See what happens. But I can see him not making the cut after all this is said and done. All right, next, we've got the Saints, New Orleans Saints here. We've heard a lot of different things, and I think the Derek Carr retiring opens a lot of different conversations up, a lot of doors.
Yeah.
Just because I think with this one, when you think of guys that don't want to be there now anymore, maybe, you know what I mean? Or maybe – the situation with them, do they say, all right, well, this is the situation we're in this season. I feel like if we had Derek Carr, we were vying for at least the division. We had to go and try and push for the division. That was our first step. When you don't now, and now you're starting either Spencer Rattler sophomore year or, you know, your new quarterback here with his freshman year, rookie year, you know what I'm saying? We're in a different spot. So veterans that have been there that even kind of re-signed, you know, that even wanted out kind of before that decided, hey, we're sticking around, they might voice their opinion now and be like, yo, I'm out. Or even the team might say, even by week six, we got to figure something out and let's dump one of these guys. So this made it really interesting for me when I looked at this.
So, I mean, I think with the mindset of the Saints, by doing what they did in the draft and everything, they're still going to compete. I know the quarterback position doesn't really have an answer as of yet because it's unknown. We've seen Spencer Rattler last year struggle at times, and things didn't look too good for him. But again, he was a rookie quarterback making mistakes that rookie quarterbacks do, so maybe he's kind of developing. Maybe he's going to get better, especially with this competition now. You know, Tyler Shook, who honestly, by all accounts, if let's just say he didn't have any concerning injuries in his college career, and the fact that he's played college for so long, you know, is seen as a older prospect, you know, mid-20s already. But I think Tyler Shook overall is pretty close to being an NFL starter. Like, he has all the attributes, the size, he's got mobility, he's got arm, he's got accurate processing information going through his reads. He's got it all. So I think the Saints kind of feel comfortable going forward with Tyler Shough, but the problem still remains is, can he stay healthy at the NFL level, which is the most physical level of football you can play? So the fact that he was injured in college as easily as he was, had a few surgeries, and the fact that of his age, even though he's mid-20s, there's still got to be concern there as well. So the competition for this starting job is really, but it's not Jake Haener is involved. Jake Haener is seen as a backup at this point. But Spencer Rattler, how much better developed is he at this point going into training camp? Tyler Shough, can he stay healthy at the NFL level? And can he beat out Spencer Rattler? So the New Orleans Saints overall have invested in wide receiver. Not to the level that I thought they would. I thought they would attack it in the draft. And instead, they bring in Brandon Cooks, an older, you know, kind of deep threat veteran. I thought they would at least draft another receiver, and we just never saw that. So I'm a little concerned at receivers still. Remains, you know, how healthy they can stay. But their offensive line, they've definitely improved. So that's going to help out no matter what quarterback they decide on. It's going to help them out. They're going to have a really good offensive line in front of them to protect them. So I do think this quarterback competition is going to be really interesting to watch, to see who kind of outdoes who as we get closer to the end of training camp.
Yeah, definitely. So who do you end up picking as the guy who's not going to make it here?
Oh, for me, I went defense on this one. So I stayed away from wide receiver, obviously, because there's really not a whole lot there. But I went defense, and I think the D-line, they've definitely, you know, invested in D-line in the draft. Instead of wide receiver, they went defense a lot. Linebacker Danny Stutzman, who I think, honestly, is going to play a huge role this year. I don't think he's going to be a starter, but I think he's going to be involved in that rotation. You know, Jonas Sanker, the safety. I think if Tyrann Mathieu goes down with injury like we've seen him do in recent past, he could fill that spot nicely. And then you go D-line, where you got a veteran in Nathan Shepard, who I feel like might get outplayed and he might lose his job. He is going to be my odd man out because they drafted Vernon Broughton, who I think is in the third round, who is going to be, honestly, could be a starter for them. Like, he's that, he's going to be that impactful. A guy who is a nemesis in college is going to continue his vicious ways in the NFL. And then a guy who's kind of lower on the totem pole, but I could see him also getting some playing time this year. Fadil Diggs from Syracuse, the D end. So with that being said, I think that's going to push Nathan Shepard out of a role here.
Right, right. Yeah, and I mean, I looked around at different spots. I wasn't sure about, you know, a lot of different things. I looked at Taysom Hill, because Taysom Hill is
not there anymore.
It looks like they still have him. They still have him here on the depth chart.
He's not there, though.
Looks like they picked him up.
A free agent went to Green Bay.
That's weird. It looks like they brought him back, though, from Green Bay. I don't know. All right. And the most recent one, it showed him on there. All right, I was going to say that contract isn't going to work there.
It says on the roster, it says with Green Bay.
With Green Bay, okay. Well, I didn't pick him either way, but I went with Dante Pettis. Again, I know him, again, from the Giants here, and he's traveled from different, you know, teams all around. And again, despite even having disparities at wide receiver at times, especially with the injuries that they've had, I really don't see him, especially at his age now, cracking this roster at all and stuff. So I think after all it's all said and done, they find who lies, all the dominoes fall into play. I think he's going to be the odd man out in this wide receiver core. I think they've settled on some guys. And like you said, they did bring in Brandon Cooks, and I think that's going to be the spot here. That's going to be their starter here. So, again, he doesn't even have a shot to get on this roster here. So I'm going to go with Dante Pettis. All right, next, moving on to
the... Yeah, and he's already lower on the depth chart.
Yeah, and he's already, it's like I said, once you got younger guys too, they, you have an opportunity to see even what they have here. Again, you're just a guy that's floating around to try and make a spot somewhere, and you're not going to do it. You know, it's nice, sounds nice and all, but it's just not going to happen. Next, we've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Sterling Shepard is who I have here for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Wide receiver again. See, I went with wide receiver heavy a lot this one in the NFC. But you look at their roster, too, and how deep it is, too. And I feel like, again, yes, he connected with Baker Mayfield, and yes, they know each other from way back and stuff. But, again, the guy is injury prone. Yes, he finally was able to split some time last year and kind of have some production here due to some injuries due to Mike Evans and stuff and Chris Godwin. But I don't see it lasting as long. Again, too, he's older, too, so I'm like, I'd rather give these other guys still some shot. You still got Ryan Miller there, too. Again, second year, 2 years in, and now is going to be his next third season here. Give him another shot to crack, the top here. I don't really think Sterling Shepard's like one of your guys to be a starter, which they kind of have him penciled in right now.
Yeah, I don't see Ryan Miller even making the team. Sterling Shepard to me is my odd man out as well, Jimmy.
Look at that. Ding, ding, ding.
It's just way too easy for him to lose his job here because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do what they always do in the draft. They draft best available talent. And it just happened to be Emeka Ibuka coming out of Ohio State. They end up investing in him, and he's penciled in already as the starter. Now, that doesn't mean that Sterling Shepard is automatically out, is going to get cut. But when you look at what the receiving core looks like right now with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin when he's healthy, Emeka Ibuka, like I mentioned before, Jalen McMillan, who played a significant role last year as a rookie, and they also have Trey Palmer. People seem to forget about Trey Palmer all the time. He's going to end up being another favorite. I just know it, of Baker Mayfield. So when you put those five in front of Sterling Shepard already, and the fact that they took a shot at Tez Johnson, who is, it's never been done before at the NFL level, taking a 156-pound wide receiver and him playing a significant role, let alone making the roster and but he is one of these difference makers with his acceleration and quickness. Again, it's going to be a concern to see if he can hold up at the NFL level. And that's why he went in the seventh round. But man, if that kid pans out, bye-bye Sterling. It's going to be that simple. So I think that the writing is on the wall in Tampa Bay, even though this might, it's not going to make Baker Mayfield super upset, but he might be a little bit disappointed if his boy ends up. Nonetheless, this is the NFL for a reason. You know, it's next man up mentality, and I think it's time for Sterling to move on.
Yep, I agree there. There we go. We agreed on one. So we got one a show. That's it. So we're done now for the night. Next, we got the NFC West and the Arizona Cardinals. Joe, who do you got for the Cardinals here?
For the Arizona Cardinals, this was difficult. I say this is the one team that I had a very difficult time picking the odd man out in the parameters that I'm sticking to, either start or backup. It was very difficult because this is a Cardinals roster that doesn't have a ton around it. It just doesn't have a super solid roster from top to bottom. Receiving core to me is still a weakness. I understand they got Marvin Harrison, but they got Zay Jones. Okay. It's just an okay wide receiver at this point. Michael Wilson.
Yep.
In and out of the lineup. Greg Dortch, who's a nice, everybody expected him to be. And then you look into the defense and it's like, man, they added Walter Nolan, who I think is going to be excellent for them on the D-line. But there's just not a lot of guys that I can say, okay, this guy's definitely getting cut. But that's why it kind of brought me to nose tackle, to be honest. For the first time this year, I'm going nose tackles getting cut.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going Bilal Nichols. Back up to Dalvin Tomlinson, and I think that they have other guys that are that are younger that they might push up in this role. And I think Bilal, to be honest, Bilal Nichols is, I'm surprised he's even on a roster, to be honest with you. So I think this might be his time to get removed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. This one was a tough one for me, too. And, again, I just kind of looked at depth, again, and what they've been able to do, who they've been using. And I'm not going to give up on James Conner, too. Still, he's still performing at a decent level. They got Trey Benson there. So they took a stab at Michael Carter. He still hasn't been able to get a real role for this team in the Cardinals. He did play for the Jets a while back, but again, injuries limited him there. He had a back injury that sidelined him for a few games here. So maybe that was something too, that maybe it's still a nagging injury that's still around there. That's just why he can't do that. But he's a young guy. It seemed like even when you saw him, even with the Jets, like he had something there. But just can't seem to, crack a roster spot. And with some of the depth that they got here, too, and adding some more players, again, for me, I think it's a shot that he's going to try and make, like, third on the depth chart. But I could see him being a guy that's going to get washed away here.
Gotcha.
All right, next we've got the Los Angeles Rams, Joe. The Rams with this one. This one's a tough two one because some of the additions they've made, you know, some of the guys that, you know, Cooper Kupp's not there anymore, too, on wide receivers. So looking at the depth on defense, you know what I mean, with how many good players they have there. So, I mean, it's tough to see who might fall in this one. But what do you think?
I think it's going to go right down to the slot wide receiver position. I think the backup Xavier Smith is going to end up being the odd man out for the Rams when it's all said and done. Like you said, they bring in a lot of competition at that position as well. You know, Britton Covey, formerly of the Eagles, comes over. Looks like he's going to be one of these kind of low-tier wide receivers that might end up making the roster, along with guys like Quintez Cephas, who has been on a couple different teams but still has some talent there. So I think Xavier Smith is going to be the odd man out in the end.
Yeah, that one was tough, too, because I even looked at what the depth that they've had there, too, Cephas and stuff like that. So that was tough for Buck. I went on defensive side just because, again, and I went with Kyer Thomas, again, a guy who, again, has struggled to try and make rosters here up and down off the practice squad, just trying to find his way and just, again, had opportunities but never really panned out. So, again, with trying to crack this depth chart with what they have here and the talent, I just don't see it happening here. So I think he's going to end up being one of the guys that they're just going to let go. Next, we've got the San Francisco 49ers, Joe. 49ers, a little bit of a turnaround, too, as well. They let a few different players go. And, you know, I was on defensive and offense. They just paid George Kittle, made him the highest paid tight end out there. So what do you think? Where they go?
So, with now Robert Saleh kind of rejoining the 49ers, he's going to mold this defense into his vision. And, you know, they started very heavily in the draft. They utilized a lot of their picks, and six to be exact, all guys with potential to start at any given time. And we saw last year the weakness of the D-tackle position. So they end up adding a couple of guys there with talent. You know, Alfred Collins, who's a big nose tackle, very strong guy out of Texas. C.J. West, a guy who was another kind of like a bowling ball D-tackle from Indiana, who has some speed and could potentially give you some pass rush up the middle for you. So they invest there. They got their D-N and Mykal Williams to team him up with Nick Bosa. So you could see that Robert Saleh's vision is definitely in the trenches, and then they sprinkled in a couple of defensive backs in the later rounds. Third round, they take Upton Stout, who was one of my favorite corners, and a safety by the name of Marquez Sigel. But they are so deep at safety, looking at it. Richie Grant from Atlanta, they sign. Jason Pinnock from the Giants, they sign. And with Malik Mustafa, who has been injured, is still working his way back. I almost was ready to pull the trigger on cutting one of these safeties, but instead I went with a corner, because looking at their the corners that they have, they're pretty rock solid. I mean, honestly, you know, DeMondre Lenore, Bernardo Green, who they drafted last year, you know, Trey Brown. So with having those starting positions already kind of locked down, I went to the backup in Daryl Luter Jr., who has been there for a couple years, but now with all this influx of secondary and influx in defense, he might actually end up being the odd man out when it's all said and done.
Oh, wow. Okay. Interesting. So, yeah, I mean, I looked at that, too. I looked all around looking at different spots, and I found it was funny with some of these guys, too. When you're looking at injuries, that guys are still nagging, you know, trying to get over right now, too. And you're like, well, how's that going to come into play? Is this guy going to kind of sneak up here if that leads into next season, if this person's not ready to go? You know, what would that bring?
Right.
And I kind of looked at the wide receiver position. Again, Debo's not there anymore. I mean, you're expecting that Brandon Ayuk is still going to be the guy there too, and hopefully he can perform better for them. Again, he's dealing with some injuries. So they grabbed a few different guys there too. But I'm looking at a guy who has performed before, been a starter for a team, and again, now kind of getting a little older, but still playable, but you've got other guys looking for spots to where I could maybe see a guy sneaking in there and maybe taking his spot from him. But I'm going to go with Russell Gage. How about Russell Gage here? You know, former Falcon, you know, and he's been able to perform, like I said, at a high level before. But again, since then, you haven't really seen it again. So now he's going to be trying to vie for a spot here. And to where they have a lot of different talent here, and I feel like they might go in a different direction here. So I say he's probably the odd man out in this one. All right, next, finally here, as we finish up with the NFC, we've got the NFC West and the Seattle Seahawks here. Joe, Seattle, what do we got here to finish it off?
I went with quarterback in this one because after they invested in the third round, Jalen Milroe looks pretty good in camp so far in the OTAs. And really, he could, if they develop him the correct way, this guy could be end up being the steal quarterback of the draft. Guy has phenomenal athletic ability. If you're able to kind of fix the mechanics and his footwork to get him more accurate with short and intermediate passes, then this guy could be electrifying for them in the future. But in the immediate future, they signed Sam Darnold. So that's their starter going into this season. I think that Drew, even though he just signed in Seattle as the backup, had been there before, I think that he's going to be pushed out of this spot. I think the Seattle Seahawks going into season, much like a lot of other teams, are going to just go with two quarterbacks, and that's going to push Drew Lock out. Jalen Milroe is going to lock in that backup position.
All right. Yeah, I looked at that too, and I'm like, I don't know. It's again, we're looking at it from different perspectives. I can see him getting pushed out, and like Milroe maybe again get to be that spot. So then maybe he's third on the depth chart. Because I don't see them even getting rid of another quarterback. I see him just maybe sliding to the third spot.
Teams don't keep three quarterback anymore.
I know. I get it.
Especially
you know, and maybe
now
that's the
emergency roster exemption,
right?
Where you have a third quarterback kind of like sitting there. And to be honest with you, they know Drew Lock. They know that he's not going to be a guy to win them games. So if they have to in a pinch, you bring in Milroe, who can also run the ball. I feel like that's going to be the direction that they head.
Yep. All right. So now for me, I went with tight end Eric Saubert. And again, you've got Noah Fant there still. You've got more guys here on the depth chart too for them. A.J. Barner, who played well for them. They drafted Elijah Arroyo here in the second round here. So a guy that they brought in free agency. Yeah, so I mean, so the guy they bring in free agency had some good games for San Francisco, but again, now I don't see him fitting on this roster here. So I think Arroyo's going to jump up here. Fant's going to slide down. So I thought even Fant might be your guy that's going to be.
I got to tell you, Elijah Arroyo is going to end up being the starter. He's got too much talent. Noah Fant, let's face it, is a one-trick pony. He's not a blocking tight end. He's just a receiving threat. But Elijah Arroyo is that guy. He reminds me a lot of Jimmy Graham back when he was with the Saints. This is a guy who's very versatile. He's got tremendous size, and the speed that he has to go with the size, it just doesn't make any sense, much like Jimmy Graham. So you could put him in the slot. You could have him in line, offline. Like, there's a lot of things that you can do. You can be really creative with Arroyo. And I think that in the end, you might actually see Fant be end up being the backup and Arroyo starts his rookie year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, I looked at that and I thought even the same thing, like with Fant taking a step back, because Arroyo, I think, is going to jump up there. Fant's, yes, you know, sir, getting older, just not performing. So, sure. And that's, you know, so that, there you go. So there's Seattle. There's the NFC, odd man out. We made it through it all, you know, and who knows? We'll see. Time will tell if through our crystal ball, if this happens, some of these guys are out there and stuff like that. And that's the fun part about this part of the season now, Joe. Camps are starting. Guys are showing up. There's already questions like, oh, did you see the throw with this guy and how that happened? Right. Or look at this and blah, 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 and this and this. And so we're going to get all kinds of information from mini camps and stuff. I'm excited to get into this, and we're going to have more guys on the show too. We've got a couple interviews lined up. So sit tight for that, you guys, too. So, Joe, tell everybody how they can support the show.
We want you guys to become part of the Blitz Nation. Hey, you guys got to get on the roster first. It's real simple. You head over to YouTube, you hit that subscribe button at Grumblings Media, hit the thumbs up, if you will, share to all your family and friends that love football talk. This is the one-stop, most interactive NFL talk show you're going to find, and we're self-proclaimed, but we stick to it. Ask any one of our Blitz Nation members, they'll tell you the same thing. We react to every comment. You saw tonight how we handle things, and look forward to the future. Continue to build with us. We have eclipsed 10,000 subscribers. We're climbing for very high results this year. I'm saying it. We're going for 20,000. I'm saying it. This season, we want to reach that 20,000 mark in subscribers. We need you guys to do it. You guys are the reason why we do this show. We have so much fun doing it. It's a passion of ours. We know it's a passion of yours. So join us every single week as we talk more football, because what else is there to talk about? The NBA? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, the Knicks? Like, who cares? Like, come on, man. Like, congratulations. You guys have made it this far because, you know, Boston just, you know, blew it for you. And now Tatum's injured. Congratulations. Rejoice. You know, Jesus. You know, guys celebrate after, you know, 20 years not making the playoffs or making farther in the playoffs. It's funny. But, all right. So, thank you so much for joining us.